Bibles, please just raise your hand. Steve and Alan will walk up and down with a Bible to give you. Anyone would like one? Otherwise, feel free to flip up, open your own Bible or your Bible app on your phone. We have two readings. Sammy will bring it to us. These gentlemen will continue to hand out Bibles. Thank you.
Thanks, Sammy.
Hi, church. My name's Sammy, and I'll be leading us in the Bible reading today. So the first reading is from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And in the church Bibles, that's page 511. So Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. And the second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 21, ending at chapter 2, verse 5. And in the church Bible, that's page 954. So Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and for those at Laodicea and for all those who have not met me personally. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is.
Good morning, everyone. My name is David, the pastor here. It's great to have you here with us. Keep your Bible open there to Colossians chapter 1, and I'll pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for the work of your Spirit, and we pray that the words that we hear this morning would stir us, that they won't fall on unstirred hearts, but you would awaken us and motivate us and spur us on to action through the hearing of your word. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, are you a motivated person? Would you consider yourself a person who's motivated? Are you someone who has passion? I won't ask for a show of hands, but just think about that. Are you someone who has passion? Look at this man. This man. Would you say he had passion? This man, everyone know who that is? Steve Irwin, passed away 2006, tragic accident. But everyone would say Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, was a man dripping with passion. Oh, he had motivation, didn't he? He was passionate about wildlife conservation. He was all about educating people about the environment, about protecting our natural world, about helping us understand how we humans can live alongside nature. He raised issues like habitat destruction, climate change, wildlife protection. He dedicated his life to these things. And he had lasting global impact, didn't he? You know what his daughter Bindi said about him? His daughter Bindi said, "My daddy wanted everyone to run a wildlife park." Now, let me ask you something. What would the little people in your life say that you're passionate about? What would they say that really motivates you and spurs you on? This morning, I want us to become followers of Jesus who are motivated, who have passion. And we've been looking at a series called A Whole New You, and I'm not sure why my clicker isn't working here. I'll just turn it off and on, and we just go back here. We've been looking at Paul's letter to the Colossians. We've been calling this series New You. We've seen a man called Epaphras who hears the gospel in Ephesus from Paul. He rushes back and tells his fellow townspeople in Colossae the gospel, and the church is formed. And they meet in the courtyard in Philemon's house, and Paul writes a letter to them from prison in Ephesus, and a man called Tacitus brings it to them. And in this letter, as it's read out, the Colossians hear how Paul is so thankful to God for them. He's thankful for their life. He's thankful for their faith and their love. He prays for them. He prays that they will know God's will. And he tells them, gives them a beautiful, wonderful, glorious picture of Jesus, who Jesus is. And today, as we move on in this letter, he's going to motivate them. And he's going to motivate them in two areas of life. He'll motivate them in faith, and he'll motivate them in mission. And it's my prayer that this morning you'll be motivated in these two areas as well as we look at this. Motivated in faith, motivated in mission. So first, let's think about being motivated in faith. You know, a big motivation in life is knowing who you are, knowing what your story is. And last week we saw that Paul talks about Jesus as being the one who makes peace with God through his blood in verse 20 of chapter 1. And now what he does is he expands on that. So have a look at chapter 1, verse 21, Colossians 1, 21, where we read, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." Wow, there's a story to tell, isn't there? The story is that there's been a relationship breakdown between God and the Colossians and between God and you as well. There's a relationship breakdown that's taken place, and it's so bad that we are spoken of as not just alienated from God, but actually it's worse, his enemies. Wow. Why? Why is that the case? Well, the verse tells us we were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. In other words, in our minds, we're naturally opposed to the truth about God. In our minds, we don't want to know God. We're opposed to Him. And that expresses itself in a lifestyle that's opposed to God. You could be someone who actively opposes God and shakes your fist at Him, or worse. Or you could be someone who just quietly gets along with being a good person who ignores Him. Both are the same expression of being opposed to God. But look at verse 22, but now. When the Bible says but now, it's good news. But now, He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. He's reconciled you. That word reconciled means the relationship breakdown has come to an end. It means deep and cosmic peace. It means that two parties who were apart have come together. Now, when two people fight, it just takes one person to say, I don't want us to fight anymore. I want us to have a relationship. Can we make things right? And of course, you know, that thing that has happened in the relationship needs to be made right. You know, it could be that if you took something, in order to mend the relationship, what needs to happen? You have to give it back. It could be that you might have spoken something which was unkind, and to mend the relationship, what do you need to do? You need to apologize and give expression to the hurt that you've caused. And it could be that if you've broken a law, what needs to happen? You need to make peace with the government by paying the penalty for breaking that law. Okay, now, what does it take to fix our one-man war with God, our one-person war? What does it take? You know what it takes? Your death. That's the only thing that will satisfy God. Because you've been at war with Him, the penalty is your death. That's the price for peace. But you know what this God says? This God says, no, I will pay the price of your death. I will bring about the peace by the sacrifice of my precious Son. That's verse 22. He's reconciled you. He's brought about peace by Christ's physical body through death. Wow, what a loving God you have. And do you see the result of this in verse 22? What's the result of God doing this? To present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. Oh, there's a whole new you. Wow. Now you are complete. Now you're holy in His sight. You're His person. You belong to Him. You're without blemish. There's no stain on you whatsoever. You're perfect. And you're free from accusation. You're guilt-free. There's no condemnation. You realize, don't you, that the way God treats you now because of Jesus is the same way He will treat you when you step into the new heavens and the new earth with a brand new body. You think He'll love you then when He sees you in all your perfection? That's the same way He loves you now. You're perfect. And He accepts you. He loves you. All because Jesus paid the price. What do? You just take the free gift. You trust Him. Now, I want you to picture it this way. Can you imagine you're preparing for an exam, and it's the most horrific exam you've ever had to prepare for. It's horrible. You're having nightmares about this exam, and the exam day arrives, and you sit down in the exam room, and the examiner walks in at the beginning of the exam, and he says, folks, this is a three-hour exam, but I want to tell you something. Whatever you write in this exam, everybody is going to get 100%. Wow, what does that do to you? The nightmares stop, don't they? You think, oh, you can feel the relief. And that's an exam that you will sit for. That's an exam that you will trust the words of the examiner. Now, friends, that's what's happened to us. Jesus Christ has not just given us a pass mark, he's given us 100%. It's happened to you, and he's calling upon you to trust him, to trust that he's done this for you. So how will you continue? How will you go through life knowing this? Verse 23, look at it. If you continue in your faith, not continue in your efforts and continue trying your hardest to be without blemish yourself, no, continue in your trust. Continue in your confidence in Jesus, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard. That's what Paul is telling us. Continue in your faith. Keep trusting. You're already perfect. You've already passed the exam. You'll already be clear on judgment day. Jesus has made sure of that by his work on the cross. Nothing can take that away from you. And so what should you do? Keep trusting in Jesus. Oh, keep looking at the future glory that's yours. Friends, does this motivate you? Does this motivate you to keep trusting? Keep being a person who's motivated to trust Jesus, because when Jesus gave his body for you, he made you perfect. That's the gospel message. Have you heard it? Do you believe it? I pray you do. I hope you've received it. But secondly, the second area of motivation that we're told here is in the area of mission. And to get motivated for mission, we really need to understand the ministry of the Apostle Paul, because Paul was a man who was highly motivated. I mean, we just read in verse 23 where Paul talks about the gospel. He says, of which I, Paul, have become a servant. And it's as though we now click on that link there of Paul being a servant of the gospel, and the rest of our passage is highlighted, and we're taken to a brand new link here in verses 24 to chapter 2, verse 5, because Paul tells us about what drives him, what motivates him. Why does he keep going? If you want to understand what motivated Paul, you need to understand his mission. There's never been another Paul. There's never been a guy like him. This was a guy who, if you were to do a background check on Paul, you would find that he was a murderer of Christians, but then he became the champion of Christians. This is a guy who wasn't of good health. He had a thorn in his flesh. We don't know what that was. He was a bachelor by choice. He was arrested multiple times. And yet this was a guy who traveled over 12,000 kilometers on foot. That's like walking from Sydney to Perth three times. Okay, that's what he did. Why did he do that? Because he was so invested in telling people about Jesus. This was a guy who started around 14 or so churches. Do you think we can learn from him? Do you think he's got something to teach us about being motivated for mission? Let's learn from Paul. Let's hear what Paul has to say. Now, there's three steps to understanding Paul's mission and understanding Paul. Here's what we've got to understand about Paul. Here's what Paul says he's on about. Paul says that he completes the sufferings of Christ, first step, to present the complete word of God, second step, in order to present the complete people of God, third step. Okay, let's understand this. Okay, here's the first step. Paul says that he completes the sufferings of Christ. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. What does this mean? What does Paul mean that in his flesh he's filling up what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. I mean, when Jesus died on that cross, was anything lacking when Jesus died on that cross? Here's what it doesn't mean. Paul, it doesn't mean that when Jesus died on that cross, that Jesus didn't do enough to save you. Okay, it doesn't mean that when Jesus died on that cross, he contributed 95% and you have to do the extra 5% of the job to get saved. It doesn't mean that. No, because we know from the Bible that Jesus, when he hung on that cross, remember what he said? It is finished. The job is complete. I've done it all. My death is satisfying to God. My work is complete. And this is the good news we proclaim to people, isn't it? Jesus paid it all. Nothing more I owe. I don't need to owe God anything because Jesus paid the price for my sin himself. Nothing more can be done. Jesus did it. But there's one thing missing in the work of the cross. Do you know what that is? Do you know what's missing? What Jesus did was complete to save you. But do you know what's missing? Not everybody knows about it. People still need to hear about it. That's what's lacking. That's what's missing. That's why Paul says, I'm suffering in my flesh. In fact, verse 29, do you see what he says? He says, to this end I strenuously contend. Wow. Yeah, he's talking about hard work to the point of being exhausted. That's how hard he works. There's exhaustion involved. Oh, he does it with the energy of Christ. Ah, but it's strenuous. It's labor. And what he's reminding us of is that the job of telling people about Jesus always comes with suffering. You know that, don't you? Whenever you tell people about Jesus, it always comes with suffering. I mean, it's hard work to get to know people so that you can build a relationship with them and perhaps have permission and opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Oh, it takes courage to pluck up enough boldness to be able to share what Jesus has done in your life, doesn't it? And then there's the opposition. Many of you have experienced the opposition and rejection when you do tell people about Jesus and people write you off. People don't want to know you. And it's hard work to pray for people to come to know Jesus. We had a mission last year in December, a week-long mission with some students from Port Macquarie University. And it was hard work, wasn't it? And I have to apologize. I don't think I warned us enough about how hard mission is. It is hard work, isn't it? It takes energy. It takes time. It takes effort. And it involves suffering. So I want us to know, and God wants us to know, that suffering is part of the deal when we tell people about Jesus. It's just part of the involvement. But see, Paul says, I complete the sufferings of Christ. But here's the second step in this, in Paul's mission. He says, I do this to present the complete word of God. Verse 25, look at verse 25. He says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Paul says, I present to you the word of God in its fullness. That word fullness has the idea of completion, completing something. He's lifting the lid on the word of God. He's saying now's the time to lift the lid on the word of God and fully expose it. Bring it to completion. Tell the full secret that God's truth has arrived. That's what verse 26 is about. Do you see verse 26? He talks about the mystery. That word mystery, just think of the word secret. The secret that is kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed. Okay, the cat's out of the bag. The secret's been told to the Lord's people. See, God had a secret. that for ages and generations was kept hidden and unknown. He didn't tell it in Old Testament times fully, but Paul says, now's the time to lift the lid, now's the time to go public, now's the time to expose the secret. This is the kind of news that you just can't keep to yourself. Why? What's the secret? Verse 27. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this secret, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Wow, there's the secret. Christ in you. Friends, do you see the secret? Christ in you. Do you remember back in chapter 1, who is Christ? Who is he? He's the firstborn of all creation. He's the firstborn from among the dead. He's the one who inherits this creation. He'll inherit the new creation. He's the one who has all the fullness of God living in him in bodily form. All, everything about God is in Christ. And now we're told that this Christ is in you. Can you just stop and think about that for a moment and just silently thank God for that if you're someone who trusts Jesus? That you and I, as people who have faith in Jesus, have Christ, who is the fullness of God, living in us. Wow. That's the mystery. That's the secret. You don't have to be a Jew to get this. You don't have to go to a temple to see God. You don't have to go to a special place. You, by trusting in Jesus, you can have Christ living in you. You can have God up close and personal. It's for any single person who puts their trust in Jesus. Please don't ever get tired of that. Please go home and just relish in that and delight in that today. You know, when you're stuck and you're thinking, what do I meditate on right now? Meditate on this, that Christ is living in you. Here's the final step of what Paul says. In order to present the complete people of God. See, what is driving Paul's goal? What's driving his ministry? What's motivating him? Verse 28, he says, he is the one, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the one we proclaim. How? By admonishing, which means, you know, correcting and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. You see his goal? His goal is to present everyone perfect in Christ. Everyone perfect. That word perfect is the idea of arriving at the goal, reaching the end point, being at that place of being in full bloom, fully mature. You know, there's a line in the wedding service where the minister calls out, who brings this woman to be married to this man? And, you know, the father of the bride traditionally stands up and says, I do, or the parents stand up and say, we do. And you know, it's like the father saying, okay, we've done our job, we've done the best we can, now it's over to you. But see, what's happening? He's presenting the bridegroom to the bride. Sorry, he's presenting the bride to the bridegroom. And here is Paul. It's as though Paul is the father of the bride, and he's will stand up on the last day and he wants to present the bride perfect and mature to the bridegroom, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants this for everybody. Friends, this is a message for everyone. Paul couldn't make this more clearer if he tried. He wants to present everyone perfect in Christ by teaching everyone and admonishing everyone. It's for Jews, it's for Gentiles, it's for slaves, it's for free. No one is too young, no one is too old, no one is too degenerate, no one is too religious, no one is too rich, no one is too poor. Jesus is for everybody. Are you convicted by that? Are you convinced by that? You know, sometimes you hear about the millions of people in this world who have never heard about Jesus. Friends, if you know of thousands of people who have not heard the name of Jesus, and you have the gifts and the opportunity to go and for them to hear about Jesus, well, that's a good enough reason to go, isn't it? For them to hear about this Jesus who can save them from being alienated from God in hell. That's enough reason to go. If you're able to go and help thousands of people hear about Jesus, then that's enough reason to go. We've got to be people who have the same missionary zeal as the Apostle Paul. We've got to be just as motivated as he was and have the same vision that he did to see everybody fully mature in Christ by letting them hear about Jesus. Oh, he doesn't just want to evangelize, does he? He wants people to grow in Christ. He wants them to be built up. That's really chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. His goal is not just worldwide evangelization, it's also the building up of God's people. I mean, that's clear from chapter 2, verse 2. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. What he wants for unbelievers is the same that he wants for believers. He wants them to know Jesus. It's not a different goal, is it? He wants both unsaved and saved to know Jesus. Again, what's his motivation? Look at verse 3 of chapter 2. Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know that in Christ you have everything? In Christ, what we're told is that we have all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. See, Jesus Christ is not just one source of treasure among many other different sources of treasure. No, he is the source of all the treasure. You don't find the source of all treasure from the switching on the ABC. You don't find the source of all treasure by ducking down to Macquarie University, enrolling in a course there. You don't find all the source of treasure buried in a book somewhere in the state library. No, you find it all in Christ Jesus. He is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. He is the treasure. Do you appreciate what you have in him? He's the wisdom and knowledge for how to be a good mum. He's the wisdom and knowledge for what kind of job you should be doing. He's the wisdom and knowledge for how to live as a single person. He's the wisdom and knowledge for how to live when you have cancer. He's the wisdom for knowing how to live with yourself. He's the wisdom for knowing how to live when you've got depression. He's the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Oh, friends, do you know what you have in Jesus is priceless? This is more valuable than all the gold in the entire world, and it's free. How can we keep him to ourselves? We can't. This is what drives Paul. It's Jesus. When people ask me if I could pick anyone in history to sit down and have a meal with, I always pick the Apostle Paul. You know why? I'd love to hear the passion in his voice when he talks about Jesus and his goal to tell people about Jesus. I'd love to see the twinkle in his eye when he talks about how wonderful Jesus is and what Jesus means to him and how that drives him to tell people about Jesus. Jesus meant everything to this man. And you know what this calls for you and I? It calls for a new you. It calls for a new you with new motives. What's motivating you this morning? It's got to be Jesus. So keep trusting him because he paid it all. Keep believing in him, because he's the one who's made you perfect. Keep persevering in him till the final day because of his sacrifice for you. And keep doing mission. Keep telling people about Jesus. Keep building up God's people. We have a message that can change the world because we have a person who is life-changing, who has all the wisdom, all the treasures, and his wonderful name is Jesus. I'll pray for us. Our loving Father, again, we thank you for Jesus and for what he means for us. And we ask you that you would continue to change our wrong motives, our hard hearts, and help us to see again the beauty of who your Son is, so that we can keep trusting him and reaching the lost who desperately need to know him. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.